Just 2 days ago, flying from Columbus. Oh, yeah, we're going to get in the Word. Don't worry. And you're going to get out of here on time. I learned how to get up, speak up, and shut up. If you don't strike oil in a few minutes, you quit boring. And it isn't sermons that people need. It's samples. If you've been a Christian 6 months, you probably got more sermons under your belt now than you're practicing. And that isn't what counts. It's Christianity in shoe leather, right down where the rubber meets the road. Jesus Christ said it this way, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and come to glorify your Father which is in heaven." You probably see in Southern California what we see in Mile High Denver. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? But you can put salt in his oats. That's what it's all about. Just keep pouring the salt to him. If you have your Bibles today, tonight, let's open them up to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. And, of course, just like the brochure said, it's dead, defeated, delightfully delivered. Because you're in one of those categories. And we'll begin reading at verse 32. Nothing like the Word, W-O-R-D, what our Redeemer declares. And if you're not going by the Word, man, you're not going. Verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people that stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Let's just have another word of prayer. Father, we really thank thee tonight for all that thou art. But most of all, we thank thee for thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shoots no blanks, no blind alleys, no dead-end streets, who's not affected by all the mess that's going on in our world, because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Now we count upon thee in the person of the Holy Spirit to simply do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. As for me, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a real delight to be here with you. Many times when my dear wife Pearl kisses me goodbye at the airport, which she does quite often, she says to me, and it used to irk me, Honey, preach the word. And I knew that verse, knew it for a long time. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. You remember the Holy Spirit through Paul as he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Oh, by the way, am I speaking too rapidly? Now, if I am, just raise your hand and I'll just slow down. You see, I speak in schools and prisons, and we get kind of fast. You know, I was 2 weeks ago up in a prison in Wyoming, and, you know, you got two strikes on you when you come in with a Bible. And, you know, we just don't do like the typical Christian speaker comes in a prison and say, Oh, we're really glad to see you here today. Don't do that at a prison. You don't get nowhere, you know. And so, you know, you get used to talking fast because you don't have time for uhs and all of that stuff. You give them the word. But you give it to a machine gun style. and you're sold on what God has said through the mouth of the prophet, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So generally in a prison, you know, you go in, you go with the chaplain, that's a strike on you. So you go in and you just say, look guys, we just want to talk to you, relax, and I got some good news for you, and I want to inform you in a language that you can understand that the Lord is not hard up. He's not even in the snatching business. If you want to go to hell, he'll let you. Now, they understand that, see. You say, you don't talk that way. What other kind of way can you talk? It's the only kind of language Americans can understand. And I'm finding out not only behind the walls, but on this side of the walls. You just simply talk to people in a down-to-earth language. None of the 35 and 40-cent words, for you know as well as I do, if this beautiful auditorium was to catch on fire right now, we would not be floundering around for a 35 or a 40-cent adjective. We'd just holler, fire, and get out of here. It's the same way when you're talking about the Lord. It's the same way when you're speaking about God. The same way when you're speaking about the Spirit of God. You're just simply in a down-to-earth language. And tonight, let me share with you. I can't tell by standing here because I'm only a human being, indwelt by the Son of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. But I'm human, and I can't see like the God. But I know this, that if you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then you are dead in trespasses and sin. Lazarus was literally dead. He didn't breathe anymore. He didn't respond if there were flowers. He didn't respond to the people who came to Martha and Mary to simply console them. He couldn't. He was dead. And all men, women, boys, and girls outside of Christ, and note, I didn't say outside the church. Now, when I say church in that vein, I'm not speaking of the body of Christ such as we know in the Word of God. I'm speaking of the institutional church that we have, you know, like in America and other places you go, where some people get in by raising their hand. Other people get in by signing their name on the dotted line. Other people get in by exercising their kneecaps. You know, people say to me, I go to church. So what? I mean, just because a cat has kittens in an oven, that don't make them biscuits, right? Pushing people through church buildings doesn't make them Christians. Jesus, well, you can laugh. The roof isn't going to fall. And I'm not trying to make you laugh. I talk that way. He'll tell you. All the time. Even at funerals. And if you don't believe I'll talk this way at a funeral, invite me to yours. I don't believe in that put on. I got so turned off on that stuff when I was a young lad, you know, the guys stand up there and put that special look on their face, throw their voice in gear. Friend, I'm a Christian. And don't expect me to be Dr. Estep. I couldn't be him if I was to soak in a barrel of bleach. So you may not be used to that, but that's the way we talk. See. So, you know, I want you to know that. We just don't believe in that put on. I'm a Christian. I'm scheduling the will of the Lord to be here twice tomorrow, but I have no guarantee about that. Because the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. But what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanisheth away. That's the reason we just live a moment at a time. Enjoying the Lord. Don't endure him. We got to get to that. Lazarus was dead, man. I mean, he was dead. And he's a wonderful picture of men, women, boys, and girls outside of Christ. And you remember what the Bible says? Surely you're reminded of the words of the Spirit of the living God through Saul of Tarsus, now Paul the Apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the reason on airliners. And that's my favorite spot to preach. Up there, nobody can walk out on you. Once in a while, they get up and go to the restroom, but they got to come out of there. And it's amazing. You know, you mention God, you mention Jesus, and some people kind of look at you like you're some sort of a kook from outer space. And I say, look, man, I'm not talking about religion. Religion such as the world knows it is a drag and it makes drips. The world was oozing with religion when the Lord Jesus came on the scene in person. You remember the Pharisees? A bunch of religious nitpickers if ever there was. You remember the Sadducees? They didn't believe anything. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in spirit. They didn't believe in resurrection. That's the reason they were sad, you see. And you know something? They got a lot of descendants on the North American continent. We call them Americans, just like me. They wouldn't believe fat meat is greasy if you tied a dripping chunk on their forehead. That's the problem. Man will believe man before he believes God. He'll believe a lie before he believes the truth. That's the reason religious racketeers are making it, is touching dollars. because man will just believe that lie. Friend, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the only one who can satisfy. That one who seemingly steps out of the pages of the book and who says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He shoots no blanks, no blind alleys, no dead end streets. He's not the theme of the Bible. He is a living word. The word says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to ask you a question. Don't change the expression on your face. Don't nod. Don't raise your hand. Are you dead in trespasses and sin? Or are you alive? There's only two things that a dead man can do. Three, really. Either stay dead, come alive, or stink. I better say that again. Only three things that a dead person can do. Stay dead, come alive, or just stink. Now, that don't sound good, does it? But that's a fact. That's the kind of language people understand. And friend, that's the reason we got to give the word. I, like you, look at the news. I see Walter Concrete, his associates. I'm listening to the candidate. I'm listening to them, many of them throwing dirt. And everybody who throws dirt's losing ground. What a waste. See, but friend, we got this works. I don't sit there, oh, but you ought to be praying for them. Put them all in there at the same time. It wouldn't work. The only thing that's going to work is when the Lord Jesus, who 2,000 years ago at the place called Calvary, put it all together when he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and God was so pleased with his death in your stead and mine, he stamped his divine approval upon it by raising him the third day from among the dead. And it's not enough to hear about him. You must trust him. You must believe him. He says in John 7, you remember the last day, the great day of the feast, he stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, not he that heareth about me, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, not drips, too many drips, rivers of living water. You don't have icicles this way, I don't imagine. But we have plenty of them. Icicles are cold. Icicles are clear. Icicles are pointed. And the only time they drip is when the heat's on. He didn't say anything about drips. And so Lazarus was dead, but it took the death of Lazarus to get Mary and Martha at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We need to ask ourselves in this inflated, pressurized age in which we live, what does it take to get us as individuals to just simply level with the Son of God? Just simply to be totally honest. That's what it really is all about. It took the death of the brother to get to Mary and Martha at his feet. And at the feet of the Lord Jesus, Mary says, but Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. The Bible doesn't tell us what she had heard of him heretofore. But whatever she heard, she knew that death could not abide or remain in his presence. And there were those friends who came to simply console her. The Lord Jesus asked a question. You know, before he asks the question, the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. And I'd like to just speak there just for a moment. Because all across our land, you go to Canada, you go to the Caribbean, everywhere you find people, there's one thing that I'm sensing. There are many men who've been programmed wrong. And boys, too. You know what they've been programmed? Oh, no, it's not manly to weep. But here's the only man worth talking about. The one mediator between God and men, as he saw what sin, not only how it affected the human heart, but how it affected man, period. The tears begin to trickle down his cheeks, and the Bible says Jesus wept. Now, I used to, you know, because I was raised by a very godly mother. She's still alive. She'll soon be 80 years old. She's of the old school. She believed it was better felt than telt. In other words, she didn't do a lot of talking to us. Oh, no, my mother didn't do that. You know why? She had a wardrobe trunk, and on that trunk were two straps. And one of those straps, you know, she'd made us learn that verse in Proverbs where it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And I thought time she had a motor on her arm. She used that, man. But, you know, my mother would work on us, and she didn't call it a spanking, neither did we. We call it a whooping. And then, of course, she'd let you cry a little bit, and then she'd say, now hush. And when Mom says hush, you hush. And somehow from that, I just got the impression, she never told us that. I just got the impression that it just wasn't manly to weep, even when you're hurting. And I believe many men are affected that way. And I got saved, almost 34 years ago now, and that's a story in itself, in a Swedish church. And you can tell by looking at me that I'm no Swede. But at that church, there were guys who talked very much like I am. And you know what? All they talked about was the Lord Jesus. And they talked about him in a down-to-earth language, and they told what would happen if you would trust him. And I had been raised just the opposite. I'd been raised that you're supposed to feel something, when the truth is our feelings are just like the weather, subject to change. Everybody who trusts their feelings is utterly deceived. You find that out in Genesis chapter 27. Isaac trusts into his feeling, thinking he was feeling Esau, and he was really feeling Jacob, who with the help of his mother had the skin of the goats on the smooth of his neck and the smooth of his arm, who also had on Esau's clothes, so he not only felt like Esau, but he even smelt like Esau. But Isaac, who was old and his eyes were dim, and he was utterly deceived. It makes you think of what you read in the book of Proverbs, is it not? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Friend, don't go on your feelings. No. They're subject to change. It's faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Oh, and one more thing while we're in that vein. Don't try to figure. Figuring will blow your mind. Psalms 145, verse 3, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depth both of the riches and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You don't figure out God. You just simply believe God. And because you believe him, you proclaim him by lip and by life. That's it. Right down where the rubber meets the road. The guy said to me recently, oh, prove to me there's a God. I said, man, I couldn't do that. He said, why? I said, your mind is already like concrete. He said, what do you mean? I said, it's thoroughly mixed and permanently set. I can't prove nothing to you, man. That ain't my business. That's a job of the Holy Spirit. And then I shared with him, I said, I don't know how much you've read about in the Bible. I don't know whether you've ever sat under the sound of the word. But my Bible lets me know that when Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And doves don't shove. Keep that in mind if you happen to be one of those kind, you know, always trying to help the Lord. He needs your help like you need a third leg. The Lord does it all. And you know what we do? We just let him. Just let him. L-E-T. Lord, everything thine. You see, our business as Christians, I just might as well get it now. I think I could. There it is. See that straw? Our business as born-again believers is simply to be like that. Just a channel. We sing channels only, but many times we act like we're warehouses. We're just to be like that straw. Only one exception. That straw has no life. But like that straw, we're to be flexible, not stiff. Like that straw, we're to be a channel, lovingly abandoned to the Lord, who inside of us is living in all of his resurrection, life, and power. And nobody can do like him. Nobody. None. All people put together can't do what the Lord can do. And so Lazarus was dead. The Lord Jesus weeps. The Jews see those tears coming down his cheeks, and they say, behold how he loved him. And the Lord just simply asked a question, well, where have you laid him? The Spirit of God lets us know that the place where they laid him was a cave. That was a grave. A stone had been laid on the mouth of the cave. And now listen to Martha. Typical Martha. Martha, who was always cumbered about many things, you know, always doing. Martha says, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. Well, that didn't shake up the Lord. You know why? He loves stinkers. It's that simple, you know. Now, look at some of you. You don't believe that, but he does. I mean, not only does he love stinkers, but he's the answer for every stinking situation. I mean, just let me share with you a couple of verses. You remember 1 Timothy 1:15? Faithful is the saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You remember Luke 19:10? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You remember his words in the Gospel of Mark when he says, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You remember that? And then, let's back up to the Old Testament. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord, Jehovah, hath laid on him, the Lord, the iniquity of us all. Friend, that's in the book. I'm not making that up. That's the word. That word that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and matter, is the discerner of the thought, intents of the heart. One lady said, oh, come on, you surely don't believe all that stuff in the Bible. I said, lady, I believe it all. I don't understand it. She said, what about that man and the fish? I said, oh, you mean Jonah? Lady, I'd believe it if the Bible said he swallowed the fish. She says, oh, come now, how are you going to prove that? I said, no sweat. When I get to heaven, I'll talk to him about it. She said, what if he ain't there? You talk to him, lady. That's simple. See, that's what people understand. You do it. You don't argue this. You just present it. And you don't present anything unless you really believe it. Or the professor uptight because I'm mentioning God and talking about Jesus Christ on a secular campus. They invited me there. What else? Who else to talk about? Who else can you call on at 2 o'clock in the morning and no busy signal? I mean, who else can you? Who can you depend on? And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. It's the Lord. And so he's getting uptight and he says, you know, all you Christians that are alike, you use language that I don't even use anymore. I said, what's your problem? He said, I believe in evolution. I said, explain it to me, man. He said, I believe it all just came together. I said, you mean everything? He says, everything. And he talked like me, used his hands, you know. I said, let me see your watch. So he took it off, had one of those new jobs, digital jobs, you know. So he took off his watch and he just sit it down on the floor. He said, what you gonna do? I said, look, man, since you believe it came together the first time, let's see if it'll come together the second time. Listen, friend, may I share this with you? And we probably won't get finished, but let me share this with you. The Spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom. And all we need to do as children of God is to draw on the Lord who inside is living. But if you don't draw on him, you won't have any answers. If you don't draw on him, you won't have any solutions. Don't be running around here looking for a problem-free life. Jesus said, before he goes to Gethsemane's garden, speaking to his own, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And how can we forget Paul and Silas in jail, Acts 16. Backs are sore. Feet are uncomfortably secured in stocks in the inner prison. And what are they doing? Read verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. What were they really doing? Dwelling where Thanksgiving Avenue cross Praise Boulevard. That's Christianity. Listen to what we read in 2 Timothy. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So that didn't shake up the Lord. The Lord simply says to Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, not understand, not figure it out, not see, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And then he goes on. He tells them to take away the stone. They took away the stone, and then he speaks to his father. He's a sent one. And he exposes that stinking situation to his father by simply saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, and it's not for my sake, but for the sake of the people that stand by, that they may know that you've sent me. That speaks to me as a believer. You don't have to, a child never has to beg a father. A child simply believes a father. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The brother was talking about prayer, and prayer is important. And if a thing is not important enough to talk to the Lord about, you can forget the time that you would take to consider it in thought. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So it is important. Pray about everything. The little things, the big things. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The songwriter was gripped with the truth of the word when he penned such words. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It works. I'm alive. I am what I am today because a mother prayed 2 years and 7 months. I ran away from home as a young teenager to get away from a mother who insisted that we memorize Bible verses. Hoboed all over this country. In fact, the last time I was in this particular city, I think I came right down on the Southern Pacific, just a bum, a hobo. And man, I'm glad to be saved. And if I seem like I'm excited, I am. You know why? I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I couldn't get an audience with your governor, but any hour of the day or night, because I got his number, Jeremiah 33:3. Just call him, and I got him. See? And that's exciting to me. One lady just recently, she said, "You're just a fanatic." I said, "I know that. I even know how to spell it. F-A-N-A-T-I-C, friends and neighbors all trusting in Christ." Let them laugh. Man, this is working. I was looking for it. I didn't even know what I was looking for. You know how people say, and how did you find the Lord? The Lord wasn't lost. I was lost. He found me. I was the one who was pressing and pounding a place on the Broadway. And man, I get excited about the Lord. That's when I tell the people on the airplane, relax. These things don't fall but once. You know, it hits some kind of pocket and they look all religious and funny and all of that stuff. And especially if you read in your Bible, if you say, "Can you help me?" Tell them, "Look, man, I'm not in management." Just relax. They don't fall but once. And if you're going where I'm going, no problem. It's the Lord. And nothing can happen to a child of God unless it comes through the love of God. Psalms 31:15, our times are in his hand. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody says, "But aren't you afraid to go in certain neighborhoods?" Why? "Oh, but somebody might pull a shiv," that's a knife, "or a gun on you." Well, no, man. I was reading 1 Kings 13. And what's there? The man of God that comes out of Judah to prophesy against the altar of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. You know the story. You read it there. And when he finished the message, Jeroboam just simply stretched out his hand and says, "Get him or seize him." And you know what happened to Jeroboam's hand? It withered. And he couldn't pull it back in until he asked the very guy he was telling him to get, "Pray for me." My friend, listen, you too many scaredy cats. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. This is an exciting day to live. People worrying about the price of gas. Well, so what? It goes up to $5 a gallon. The same Lord that you trusted when it was $27.9, you can trust him when it gets to be $5. And if you can't, he gave you a motor 28 inches under each knee. Use that. It's simple, friend. I mean, why all this sweat? You know, "Oh, Lord, I just believe you." Well, believe him. That's all. And if you have to change your lifestyle, well, change it. That's all. You know, we've been spoiled, you know. We get in our cars and we drive a block to the store, walk to the store, and all of that. You don't have to worry about it. Where are you seeing? It isn't us living for him. It's him living in us. See, when he called Lazarus from the dead, boy, we're not going to make it. But he called Lazarus from the dead. You know what? He got a wonderful picture to many believers in this our day. Oh, they got life, but they're defeated. On the way to heaven, but not enjoying the trip. So they go to this place, they go to that place, they sit, soak, sulk, and sour. They're straight pin Christians, headed one way and pointed the other. Oh, no, that's not what it's all about. No, the Bible says, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the last sentence, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Joy spells in California like it does in Colorado. J-O-Y. Jesus owns you. Friend, do you know who you belong to? Do you know who's actually on the inside? The very one who spoke that sun into existence, that had the temperature in the 60s and maybe higher today, I don't know. But that's the one who's living in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But Lazarus was defeated, and why? Because, you see, he was bound with the traditional grave clothes. So he couldn't walk, he couldn't work, he couldn't witness by word of mouth, because there was a napkin about his face. And that's exactly what's gripping many of God's wonderful people, my brothers and sisters in Christ across our land. They're bound by tradition, and it isn't the word. You see, the word frees you. The Lord says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And friend, when you're free, you know what happens? He just flows through in all of his power and preciousness and blessing to others. You don't even have to pray, "Oh, God, use me." All you have to do is to believe him. And when you believe him, you know what you'll do? You'll obey him. John 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." 2 verses later, he says, "If a man love me, he'll keep my words." You back up to the preceding gospel, chapter Luke, 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? When you love him, you just simply let him. You don't let anybody do anything for you, to you, with you, and in you, unless you believe in them. And that's what it is. It's just simply a matter of believing the Lord. Why, friend, this is the most exciting thing I know. This is. Just think, and not only here, but hereafter. Because the Word says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's got to be more to life than what many people are getting out of life. Education, nothing wrong with that. The writer says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. And marriage, beautiful. I've been married 30 years just past Christmas Day. Just got through telling my wife, I don't care what you do, honey, you are stuck with me. She said, why do you say that? I said, I am not going to be 30 years breaking in somebody else. And children. So he gave us 3 wonderful mail order children. My children are all from Korea. Mail order is just simply another word for saying adopted. And you got to say it that way in America if you want to get people's attention. They're mail order children. We got them through the mail. And they're all grown and married. So we got 6 and 2 grandchildren. And then, you know, who knows? The Lord may delay his coming and I get a chance to see the great grand. But whether I do that or not, there's much more to life than that. You say, what else is there? Not what else, who else? There is a wonderful Christ, capital C-H-R-I-S-T, which simply means coming home really isn't so tough. Who says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And he's not talking about the sweet by and by. He's talking about the nasty here and now. You can have a ball as a Christian. You said, oh, but brother, you don't have any problems. Yes, I do, but I got a problem solver. He's our great high priest, one who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. His word says to you, it says to me, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. He just spoke to his father, called Lazarus by name, and out of there he moves. He hasn't changed. You said, now, why was he delightfully delivered? Well, simple. He came out with the grave clothes. He was not ineffective. He couldn't be because he was bound by traditional grave clothes. The Lord had to say, loose him and let him go. And now people who stand by begin to take the grave clothes off for Lazarus. And when they got through, not only was he delightfully delivered, he was dangerous. You read in the next chapter that the chief priests consulted how that they might also put Lazarus to death because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Why? Wherever he sat, walked, or stood, people could point to him and say, hey, there he is. There's who? There's Lazarus. What about him? He was dead. And they couldn't carry on the conversation without bringing in him who says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And that's really what it's all about. It's about our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, oh, but brother, the way you talk, he does it all. That's exactly. You got the message. He does it all, and he doesn't need our help. Who did he check with before he dropped the rain on the area a little over a week ago? Let me see your hand. He tapped you on the shoulder about 3 o'clock in the morning and said, I want to wet it down. What do you think? Oh, no, no, no. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He never consults with us. And he's preserved the word to this our day. And it's just simply a matter of us believing him. Nothing else, just believing him. That's what he's saying throughout the word. So where are you? Are you dead in trespasses and sin? Or are you defeated as a Christian? Possessing everything but achieving nothing. On the way to heaven but not enjoying the trip. So you sit, soak, sulk, and sour. Enduring instead of enjoying. Is that your lot? Or are you one of those who's delightfully delivered? And though with all the problems, you're having a ball and God is getting the glory. That's really what it's all about. And one of these days, he is going to descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Oh, friend, I can hardly wait, but I am waiting. Going to. In the meantime, enjoy him. That's what it's all about. That's the salt in the oats. You say, what do you say that for? You see, the salt in the oats is the Lord Jesus in all of his resurrection, life, and power just allowed to be who he is. He's the greatest attraction in the universe. The Pharisees wanted what he was offering. You know what their problem was? They wanted it on their terms. I want to ask you tonight in the words of the poet, very familiar, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You said, brother, I'm saved, or I would have never been out here on a Saturday night. Well, let me ask you. Are you enjoying the trip? Don't nod. I mean, are you really enjoying the trip? Are you looking for an emergency valve? Does the word really mean that to you? In other words, in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He is something else. No wonder the little boy said, wow, wonder of wonders. That's what it's all about. And you can have a ball. I say that at the expense of sounding like a stuck or a broken record. I didn't know that. And Lord willing, tomorrow I'll share with you more in regards to how it came about. You know, I get tired of hearing testimonies where people say how they used to drink, smoke, cuss, and chew, and then talk about 3 minutes on Jesus. And the reason I don't do that is because when I came up on Chicago's South Side, we had to take a bath on Saturday, whether we needed it or not. You know, one of those deals. And we didn't have a bathtub. We had a number 3, you know, the galvanized. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. And we didn't have running water, except for when it rained. We had running water in every room because of roof leak. But, you know, I had to take a bath after my older brother. And when I finished, there was always a ring around the tub. We never went out and said, Mom, Dad, David, Amos, sis, come, look at that. We never made over the ring. We used what they call kitchen cleanser in those days, or just plain wet newspaper, and got rid of that. We talked about how good it felt to be clean. So when I hear people talk about how they used to drink, smoke, cuss, and chew, and all that stuff, that's the negative. And people say to me, I don't do that. I say, so what? I got a couple cars. Neither one of them do that, but neither one of them are Christian. Christianity is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. Christianity is Christ. And what is a Christian? A Christian is simply a person who has heard the gospel, responded to the Christ. But there are two classes of Christians. There are those that are defeated and those that are delightfully delivered. In what category are you tonight? When he says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In our little time together, we believe, and I don't mind sharing with you in the closing moments, that we believe in just simply giving the word. Don't psych people. I don't believe they do it here anyway. Give a simple invitation, and the invitation is twofold. If you're here and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, we'd like to talk to you, if you want to talk. Like to show you from the book that all of your sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, you're free. If you're here as a frustrated Christian and you want to get off of that merry-go-round, you can. But you'll never do it. You'll never get off if you're not totally honest with the Lord. And he's no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him or reverentially trust him is accepted with him. It is that simple. And he just waits to be gracious. And we'd like to talk to you. We're going to have a word of prayer, and it won't be long drawn out. I know you want to get home, plus the fact that I do believe what this book says. Psalms 127, verse 2. It is vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It is just simply saying to us, don't burn the candle on both ends. That's all. Otherwise, you'll have a breakdown. Going to have a word of prayer. Wherever you stand, don't let, you know, the number of people, whoever you might be sitting with or behind or in front of, if there's a want to deep down inside, that's the Lord. We're simply asking you to lovingly respond to him.